Open up to 1 Kings chapter 2. And I want to encourage you, if for some reason you missed last week's service, last week's message, I felt like over the holidays I began to pray about a word for 2016. And the Lord spoke very strongly to my heart that the word was hold fast. Everyone say hold fast. Hold fast. And just began to do a quick word search on hold fast. And man, there's a lot of great scriptures. I got a couple texts this week of people saying, hey, Pastor, have you seen this hold fast verse? You know, like, wow, that is cool. And so we started off last week. I'd like to do it again. I want us to look at our memory verse. And again, for the kids, this is double tickets when they say this. Hebrews 10:23. Let's say it together. And let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us. Everyone say, let us. Notice, isn't it interesting that all these scriptures in the Bible have to do with us and we? And this is one of those scriptures. Let us hold fast. You know, next Sunday, we're gonna ask everybody to start a 14-day devotional that we've put together as a church. And the title of the devotional is, We Are. And it's going to be 14 days dealing with we are this, we are that. And you can start thinking some of the we are scriptures. We are the light of the world. We are more than conquerors. We are. And so that's starting next Sunday. And it's exciting to see the we's and the us's in the Bible, because that's who it is. It's not missionaries on their own. Amen. We're with them. We're not able to go to Norway. We'd like to go see those mountains. Jerry just saw those mountains. We'd love to go there, but we can't. But you know what? We're with them in spirit. We're with them in our prayers. We're with them in our thoughts, all our missionaries that are around the world. And so let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Hebrews 10:23. Amen. And so I want to continue talking to you about holding fast. Because Jesus said in his words to the disciples, he says, but these words I have spoken to you that you may have peace. But in this world, everyone say this world. But in this world you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. John 16:33, I think, is the reference to that. Teens, there's another double ticket verse right there. John 16:33. So in light of knowing that Jesus said in this world, now in the world to come in heaven, is there going to be trouble? No. No tears, no trouble. It's going to be awesome. We're not there yet. Amen. Nudge your neighbor and say, we're not there yet. And so, hold fast the confession of our hope. We talked about Job, and the Lord said to Satan, have you considered Job, who is blameless and upright, and still he holds fast to his integrity? This is after he lost all his family, he lost his children, he lost all his livestock. And God said to Satan, have you considered Job, that he holds fast to his integrity? Jesus in John chapter 8 told us, he said, listen, if you abide in my words and you hold fast to my teachings, you are truly my disciple. Titus, tomorrow night, Titus chapter 1, verse 9, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, Randall, by sound doctrine, we're going to talk about Randall's so excited. He just can't wait to talk about doctrine tomorrow night. By sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. And then we closed last week with 1 Thessalonians 5:21. Test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Hold fast that which is good. In light of knowing that in this world, there's going to be some testings. There's going to be some difficulties. And the Lord brought me this week as I began to pray about how do I take one step forward about what it means to hold fast. Who would be a good example of someone who held fast? And immediately I went to the story of Elijah and Elisha. Elijah and Elijah. And for me, the only way I could remember the difference between the two is that J comes before S. All right, is anyone else besides me? J comes before S, and so that's how I kind of keep Elijah and Elisha apart, keep them separated. 2 Kings chapter 2, and it came to pass when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha to Gilgal. And we're going to look at some towns today. We're going to look at some places. And let me tell you what, this heart that Elisha is going to have to want to stay with Elisha is amazing. And just looking at the cities that they're going to go, they start off in Gilgal. And then you're going to see that from Gilgal, then we come to the next verse. And it came to pass when the Lord's about to take the heaven, went to Gilgal. Verse 2. Then Elijah said to Elijah, "Why don't you just stay here, please? For the Lord has sent me to Bethel." And Elijah said, and notice his confession, church, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." Period. "That is my word, and I'm sticking to it, Elijah." Do you got that? Church, let me tell you what. We need to be able to have that willingness and that wherewithal to be able to say, "I'm sticking to work to my words that I say." Kids, when you stand at the altar, think about these words. "And I take this man or this woman to be my lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, till death do us part." That's a strong commitment. We got to hold fast to that commitment. Amen? Can I get a better amen? We got to hold fast. And his words were, "Elijah's, the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Now, good news, Jake, that they went downhill, because it's 8 miles. It's 8 miles to walk from Gilgal to Bethel. So these guys are going to get their exercise in on this one day, as you're going to see. Now, what do we know about Bethel? Bethel's called the house of God. Remember, Jacob was with the angel, fought, and he said, "The Lord was in this place, and I did not know it." And he named that place Bethel. Well, afterwards, here's what happens. And I can imagine a conversation going on. Elisha is saying to Elijah, why don't you just stick around in Bethel here? And they need a good pastor in this town. See, Bethel had a great heritage. Again, Jacob offered the sacrifice there. But over the years, something happened to this city. Jeroboam, King Jeroboam, had set up a golden calf there, and the people were given over to idolatry. And as a result, an entire generation of teenagers and kids were lost to the skepticism and scoffing and mockery of the King Jehovah, robbing the children of their spiritual roots. And I can imagine Elijah's looking at Elijah and says, "You could pastor here and set up a ministry here in Bethel." And surely Elisha's mind went to another prophet who went to Bethel. Do you remember him in 1 Kings? I think it's chapter 12, chapter 13. And he went into King Jeroboam and he said, listen, I'm just prophesying. I'm letting you know that there's the priests, your priests, are going to be sacrificed at this altar. And the altar's going to split apart. And Jeroboam got all upset. And Jeroboam, he pointed his hand out at the prophet who was telling this in Bethel and said, "Arrest this man." And as soon as he pointed his finger and put his arm out, what happened to that poor king? Bible says his arm withered up and he was paralyzed. See, there was some hardship in Bethel. And it began to, I believe, set in on Elisha, about how horrible the city is. And again, the teenagers and the young men and women in this city, I believe, were just absolutely, they were mocking them and they were making fun of the prophets. They probably recognized him. You know, John brought for me a prayer. What's the proper name of this? A prayer shawl. And the prophets would wear something like this. And we're going to call this the mantle today. And as they were coming in the town, they probably recognized the prophet by the shawl that he was wearing. And they were just ridiculing him, and they were giving him a hard time. And how do we know this? Because a couple of days later, Elisha is going to walk back into Bethel again. And what the Bible says, the kids begin to just ridicule him and mock him because of what he stood for and what he believed. A lot of people would have gotten discouraged with what they saw in Bethel, but not Elisha. And here's what Elisha began to think as he saw the wickedness and he saw the hopelessness and the lost. If I'm going to minister in Bethel, I need a greater anointing. Hello? If I'm going to minister to this generation, I need a greater anointing. God, I need more of your power in my life. And that's what these missionaries are saying. God, we see the darkness. We see the need. And if we're going to minister here in these towns, we need a greater power and anointing in our lives. So that's Bethel. Then Elijah says to him, Elisha, and now I'm in verse 4, stay here, please, for the Lord has now sent me to Jericho. You just stay here. Go ahead and stay here in Bethel, because the Lord's sending me on to Jericho. And what is Elijah's response? He's holding fast. No. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. And so they came to Jericho. Let's just be conservative. 12 miles to Jericho from Bethel. 12 miles. So now we're up to 20 miles that Elisha is following Elijah around. And they get to Jericho, and it's not the same prosperous city at all that we saw in the story when Joshua went in and they took Jericho. Because now something horrible has happened to Jericho. Notice verse 19. Please notice the situation of this city is pleasant. Pleasant is what Jericho, the word Jericho means. Please notice that this city is pleasant, as my Lord sees, but the water is bad and the ground is barren. The water of Jericho, the living waters that fed it, are now poisoned. And you can imagine what the barrenness and the stink because of the poison, and nothing can grow, none of the crops can grow. And then we find out that Elijah has set up a school of prophets in Jericho. He set up a school of prophets that he's trying to train. And he's trying to get them in the ministry. And what we see about these prophets is they're more looking at Elijah than they are looking at the power of God. They're looking at the man of God, and they're recounting all of Elijah's great miracles, and they are so awesome. Because when Elijah finally goes up and he goes into the heavens, the prophets come out and they say, listen, we got 50 strong men here. Let's go out and look for Elijah. Let's go look for him. Maybe the Lord has cast him down on another mountain or another valley. How many of you know so many people get caught up in the same trap of thinking about how great things were in the past? But here's what I read in my Bible. Our God has new wine for new days. And you cannot pour new wine into old wineskins. So 20 miles now they've traveled, and yet he is still right there with me. But Elijah's not done with his trip. Now the Lord says and called and said, Elijah tells him in verse 6, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan River. To the Jordan River. Now that's about another, at least 5, if not 8 miles. So in this one day, they've traveled between 25 and 45 miles. Think about it. In one day. And all the time, Elijah's saying, oh, why don't you just stay here? And Elisha's like, no, I am going to hold fast because I need more of God. Amen? I need more of God. Now, verse 8. Now Elijah took his mantle, he rolled it up, and he struck the water. And as he struck the water, Scripture says that the water divided this way in that way. Isn't that cool? I love the way it says that. And the water divided this and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And when it was over, and again, this is a display of God's power, isn't it? Amen. That he took the mantle, he took the anointing, and he did a great miracle with it. He caused the river to part for them to walk across on dry land. And when they crossed over, Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I may do for you before I'm gone away from you. What is it you would like from me?" And notice what Elisha's response is. "Lord, if it's okay, please give me a double portion of your spirit that would be upon me." Everyone say a double portion. Elijah responds, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken up from you, it shall be for you. But if not, you're not going to get it." How many of us would say at this time, after seeing the wickedness that's going to take place, the wickedness that's taking place in Bethel, seeing the dry barrenness and the school of prophets that are there, and it's not going really as good as it should. How many of us at this time would probably look at Elijah and say, "Now listen, Elijah. This earth is not getting any better. The problems around me are not getting any better. So why don't you just make a little bit more room for me on that chariot?" That's the easy way out. Just make a little bit more room for me to jump on that chariot with you, and I'll go with you wherever you're going to go. I'll just hang out with you. See, but not if you're going to hold fast. Not if you're going to hold fast to your calling, Elisha. Yeah, it's going to be difficult and tough. But what have you asked for? You've asked for a double portion of the Spirit of God. Now, I started getting really excited when I started thinking about this, because for some reason, in my mind, I'd never quite equated this thought to put it together. But then the Lord reminded me. He said, "Now listen, the kingdom of God is not a kingdom of addition and subtraction. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of multiplication." Can I say that again? The kingdom of God is not about addition and subtraction, but the kingdom of God is about multiplication. Now think about this for a second. This is how I was thinking about this. Because next week when we start our devotionals, there's some young men that are leaders in the worship world today. And God allowed me to be a part of their ministry. And I was able to impart to them what I had. And I can play the keyboard, but they can play the keyboard, the drums. They can lead from the guitar. See, they have a double portion of what I had. But here's what's exciting. What if they pass on their anointing? Amen. What if they pass on what they have? Now from two, we have four. I started getting excited when I started thinking about this. I'm glad I'm able to pass on. And again, I had my worship team in San Antonio lay hands on me and say, "God, I need help being a worship leader. I don't know how to do this." And Pastor Dave Bell and the worship team, they laid their hands on there and they imparted in me. And then in turn, I started imparting into my young people and Nathan Walker and Aaron Rodriguez, these young men that you're going to hear on the devotional that are worship leaders. And they're just amazing. And I'm thinking, wow, but what if they pass on their anointing? And their double portion, then it becomes four, and then four becomes eight, and eight becomes 16, and 16 becomes 32, because that's how the kingdom of God works. Amen? It's exponential. Jesus took the five loaves and the loaves and the two fishes, and what did he do with them? He broke them, and he multiplied them. There wasn't no addition going on. It was some serious multiplication, so that there are 12 baskets left over when it's all said and done. And Elijah, scripture says, and Elijah goes up. And as Elijah goes up, the mantle comes down. As Elijah goes up, the anointing comes down. Does that take you to anywhere else in the Bible? Acts chapter 1. And Jesus is preaching to the people. And he's talking to them and he's blessing them. And in verse 8 he says, "And you will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses." And he goes up, and he goes up, what's going to come down? The power of the Lord. Elisha walks over. He picks up the mantle, and he's like, I think I'd like to test drive this thing. I think I'd like to test drive some of, you know, some folks are funny. When they ask me, you want to test drive this car over here? I'm like, no, I'm really not interested in, you're going to buy the car, not test drive? Yeah. No, Elijah's like, no, I want to test drive. And what is the first thing Elisha does? He walks over to the Jordan River, and he says, where is the God of Elijah? And that river parts how? This way and that. Hold fast. He saw. And how did he get to that place where he was able to strike the river? Because he held fast. Because it doesn't matter where you're going, Elijah, I'm going with you. 35 miles later, I don't care. I'm still with you. I'm holding fast. Man. Church, we need that attitude for 2016. Amen. To hold fast. Then he goes back to Bethel where those ugly teenagers are. How do you deal with teenagers? Now, this is youth ministry. And he went up. I'm reading this out of the Bible. You know I'm not making this up. Verse 23, and he went up from there to Bethel. And he was going up the road again. Some of the youths, the teenagers, came out from the city and started making fun of him and said, get out of here, you baldy. Get out of here, you baldy. It's the same teenagers a couple of days ago that did it to him and Elijah as they went into the city. And he turned around and looked at them, and he pronounced a curse on them in the name of the Lord. And two female bears came out of the woods and mauled 42 teenagers. That's youth ministry. Come on, guys. It's kind of funny. You could laugh. All because a man of God said, I will hold fast. Hold fast to my words. Hold fast to my calling. Double portion. How many miracles did Elijah do? 14. I'll give you the answer. Approximately 14. How many miracles did Elisha do? 28. Yeah. Go look it up. They're there. Double portion. He walked it out. He lived it out. All because he did what? Held fast. Stand with me this morning. See, Elisha had what I need in my life. Could you come play for me? Elisha had exactly what I need in my life, and that is, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to give up to my calling. I'm going to hold fast. Amen? You need it also. What is it that God is calling us and calling you to hold fast to? What is it, what dream that God has put in your heart? And again, what did Elisha do to get it? He just asked. Church, all we've got to do is ask, believing. Lord, I thank you today that there's no limit to your kingdom. Lord, there's no limit to what you want to do, the miracles that you want to pour out. Father, Scripture is very clear. We lay hands on the sick and they recover, just like we heard from Amber. God, I thank you this morning for the spirit and the story of Elisha and the double portion. God, I thank you that there are young people, Lord, that you're calling this church to reach out and to pour into and to give them the anointing, the double portion, oh God. And then in turn, they will turn around and they will give the anointing and the double portion also. Lord, because just like Elisha saw, Lord, there's such wickedness. this such darkness? How are we going to minister in a world like we have today where they're saying it's okay for a woman and a man to get married? How are we going to minister today where we take life has no value and we abort these babies hundreds every day? God, we need a greater anointing. And so we come today, church, and we ask. Let us ask together. Father, we ask today as a church, would you just pray with me? Father, we're crying out today for an anointing to be able to minister to this generation, to be able to minister, Lord, to our friends down the street who don't know you. They're lost in their darkness. God, I thank you that you've equipped us, you've anointed us with your Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask today for a greater anointing. Lord, we ask today, oh God, let your mantle fall afresh upon each and every one of us. Lord, today, God, Lord, we desperately need it in the day and age that we live in. Lord, just as Elisha needs it, Lord, we need it even greater. We even need a greater mantle of anointing because there's so much more wickedness today. There's so much more evil today. God, I thank you that you hear our cry this morning, oh God. Lord, here's our cups. Fill it up. Lord, here's our cups. Fill them up this morning. That they would overflow for you. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Man, it's a great story in the Bible, isn't it? It's an awesome story to see the sensei and the young Petawan. Grasshopper. Amen. God is so good. Again, thank you to everyone this morning, all our guests. We're so glad to have you this morning with us. Great day. Amen. In the house of the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. May he be merciful unto you. May he fill your life this week with the anointing to be able to minister to the lost, to minister to neighbors. And may the God of peace himself crush Satan under your feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.